good. Thank you for the music again this morning. Appreciate the choir and the quartet with a special, and then Amber and Mrs. Hayes with the offertory. Man, appreciate our I mentioned earlier, our staff, and man, they took care of things this week. Appreciate Mr. Myers and Mrs. Joy. I'm glad they got to go down to see her dad. He's doing better. So he's back preaching again still. I think he still has some treatments to go through right ahead. But anyway, glad they got to get down there, and appreciate, man, got a lot done this week. And Brother Jason, brother, same thing, man. Appreciate the work they got done this week. Do a great job here, and come reach your shores, if you will.
All right, turn your Bible to Judges, Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Man, what a great place to be this morning. And so privileged to be able to work here. And just really, really enjoy. Thank you for the opportunity. And it's really, really a blessing. Judges chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. And it says this: "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because of this people have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not." Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this place, Lord. And Lord, just all the people, Lord, in their places that serve you here, Lord. And we're so blessed to be among many, many servants here, Lord God. And I thank you so much for that, Lord, and the humility, Lord. Just a wonderful place, Lord. And thank you for putting us all here today, Lord. I'm excited today about the message, Lord God. Excited to be in your house today. And Lord, as the music and all the different things, Lord, we've had, Lord, and Lord, we also, Lord, put in a plea, Lord, for salvation today. Lord, if there's someone here that is not saved, Lord God, today would be their day of salvation, Lord. That's why we're here. And God, I was thinking as we were singing that hymn, and thinking of Brother Curtis Hudson, Lord, and Lord, one of his favorite hymns. I can't sing that hymn without thinking about him. And Lord, just been reading a book lately here on salvation that he wrote, Lord, and just, Lord, it's so, so important, Lord, and it's, Lord, nothing we can do, Lord, nothing we can do, no works we can do to get saved, Lord. We have to just accept Jesus Christ, and Lord, I believe there are people here today that need to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord God, and I pray, Lord, just as, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will make them uncomfortable, Lord God, because it's such an important decision. And God, then as Christians, as we listen here to the message, Lord, we're excited to hear, God, that we'd be uncomfortable, Lord God, in our life. And Lord, we change some things. And God, this is a place, Lord, as Dad would always say, a spiritual hospital. Lord, we come here to grow. We come here to get better. And Lord God, for those that are not saved, man, this could be the day of their salvation, soul salvation, change their life. God, be with the message today, Lord. We thank you again for this place. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And we're in the book of Judges this morning. He read there in chapter number 2. And we've started this series, really, the book of Joshua, to start this year. And I keep thinking it's going to end, and it will at some point. But man, I just want to give you something this morning that hopefully will be a help to you in Judges chapter 2. And we talked about this really the last several services, about what God did in that generation that was Joshua's age group, those that he had taught, that learned under him, that were there, and that generation, and then a generation that came after them, that the Bible says in early in the book of Judges that knew not God. And so there were some things that needed to be done, and they were not willing to do those things. And of course, because of that, in the previous verses, before we get to verse number 20, the Bible talks about what God did throughout the book of Judges. And God would raise up judges to help them, and for a short time. And so, but I want to concentrate on the verses we read. And I'd love to spend a little more time on verse number 20 and verse number 21. We won't spend most of our time there, though. But let's read those again. Look at verse 20. "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel." You know, God still gets angry at sin. And God was angry at the sin of the people. God does not hate the sinner. And by the way, we shouldn't either. But God hates sin. As we think about what's happening in our country today, listen, we don't hate the sinner, but we sure hate the sin that they commit. And understand that sin destroys, and that sin, those sinners that sin, they do that. And listen, all of us are sinners. We don't look at someone else, boy, they're a sinner. We're not. No, we're all sinners. There's saved sinners and lost sinners. But God still gets angry at sin. God still gets upset with those that go against Him. So the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, have not hearkened unto my voice. God's interesting here. He says, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. When Joshua died, there were still some people that had not been driven out of the land. And God had told them to drive everyone out. He said, don't leave the Canaanites there. Don't leave any of those around because of the influence they will have on you. And of course, as you read through the book of Judges and then go further into the Old Testament, you realize what God said, as it always does, came to fruition. And those nations they allowed to hang around influenced them for evil. But I want you to notice this, why God did this. And you see this in the next several verses mentioned a few times. So I want to talk about that this morning. Verse 22, that through them I may prove Israel. God says, I'm going to use those nations around them to prove Israel. You know, as we try to live for the Lord and serve God, there's going to be some proving that happens in our Christian life. God says, I'm going to prove. And I want you to understand this morning as we get into the message, the difference here. Hold your place there. We're going to come back. And I want you to go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll come right back to Judges here in just a minute. We go to James chapter 1. I want you to understand something, what God does and what He doesn't do. God says, I'm going to prove Israel. And the Bible tells us that God tested Abraham. God said, Abraham, I want you to kill Isaac. And God was testing to see where Abraham was. And if Abraham was going to elevate Isaac above God, God tested Job, right? And God allowed that to happen. Satan came and God allowed those things to happen to Job. And that was really a testing time for Job. Let me tell you this morning, God's going to test you to prove you. He's going to refine you by putting you through the fire. And there's going to be times when things come in your life that God puts there to test you. But I want you to understand something. Look at James chapter 1, verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God will test us. God does not tempt us to do wrong. So I want you to understand that this morning. God will not put something in your life to try to get you to do something that's wrong. No, God gives us a choice. When God created the Garden of Eden, He gave Adam and Eve a choice. But it is interesting to me, God didn't give them the Garden of Eden and fill the Garden of Eden with all kinds of wickedness and sin or bad choices and say, all right, here's one tree that's good. That's all you can eat. No, God said everything's good. Everything's good. There's one thing that you can't have. There's one, out of all that's good, all the trees that are here, all the garden, everything that's there, it's all good for you. Except for one thing, He gave Adam and Eve a choice. But God does not tempt us to do wrong. God will not send something in your life. And so if you ever, man, something's leading me to do something that's wrong and good, that's not God, all right? God doesn't do that. God's not going to tempt you. God is going to test you. And God is going to prove who is going to follow Him and who is not. And so that's what God is doing back in Judges chapter 2. And three different things this morning that God said, I'm going to use these nations around them to prove them. And let's look at verse number 22 and give us the first one here. He says that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Here's the first thing. God says, I want to see if you're going to live in the way of the Lord as your fathers did. He says, I'm going to leave these nations around to see if you're going to really live for the Lord like those that came before you did.
They were following a generation that had followed God. And again, they weren't perfect. And we'll take time for it today, but part of the reason those nations were not driven out is because the incomplete obedience of the generation that had come before them. They did a lot of great things for God, but they hadn't quite fulfilled all they were supposed to. But they had chosen to follow God in their lives. And God says, I'm going to leave these nations around you to see if you're really going to follow God as your fathers did. Now let me help you understand something this morning. He says, as your fathers did. I want you to understand this. We talked about salvation a little bit. Listen, this morning, you are not saved this morning on your way to heaven because your father was, or because your grandfather was, or because your mother was, or because your grandmother was, or because somebody that you know is saved. No, the only way we get to heaven is through Jesus Christ for you. You have to make that decision for yourself. Now, I don't care if the person sitting beside you or all five people sitting beside you are saved. It doesn't matter. It comes down to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not saved this morning because your father saved. And by the way, let me just throw this in there too. We don't do something just because our fathers did it that way. Understand that. Hey, I don't behave a certain way or live a certain way I shouldn't just because that's the way it was passed down to me. That's tradition. We were gone this week and we had a great time. I had a few days of vacation. I was telling them in Sunday school, we've taken a family vacation, just our family, but this was the longest one in a long time. We went for three whole nights. All right, went three whole nights. And I made sure, man, I was trying to decide what nights, and then I looked at the motel rates from like Thursday night to Friday night, and I was like, boy, we're leaving on Thursday, all right? So we didn't stay for Friday night. But we went up to Lancaster, Pennsylvania there. And anyway, so one of the things we did before we left, we took out a second mortgage so we could take a buggy ride when we got up there, all right? So anybody ever taken a buggy ride up there in Lancaster? All right. So we took a buggy ride. And so I gave them several credit cards, and we were able to do that. So, but we got, you know, and we got on there, and or the person that was driving our buggy, we got to spend an hour with Elizabeth. And she was, man, nice lady. And and she was actually, so we got on there, we didn't know who. She was actually Amish. She was real Amish. I mean, just, and that's what she lived her whole life. And she was probably in her, I'd say late 50s, early 60s or something like that. And she said she lived a few miles away. She just Amish all the way through. So I was, you know, we had an hour with her. And I say, I'm getting all the questions in I can, all right, while I have a chance to ask the, you know, our kids, say, y'all want to ask anything? And all the stuff you've been asking me as we're driving around here, we get to ask her. So they wanted me to ask her everything. So, man, but she was very, very nice. And just asking her about, of course, her life and all the things, just very interesting to me and all the different things that they did. I've heard so many things about taking their pictures, right? That's one of the first things they asked you. I was like, you know, what are we supposed to do picture-wise? You know. We want to do what's right. And she said basically what she told us was she said that they don't mind people taking pictures of other things and all that kind of stuff. They said it's taught there that to want to have your picture taken is prideful. So they said that they're looked at as proud if they were to pose for a picture. So they will not pose for a picture. They'd rather you not take them, stand there. But if you accidentally get them in, well, you're trying to take a picture and get them, it's not a big deal. But they don't want to, you know. So I said, that means you don't do selfies. No, I didn't ask you that. But which by the way, wouldn't be a bad thing to pass on to some of our people, you know. But anyway, so I said, but, so we talked about a lot of different things. And, you know, I said, you know, I only get one shot at this. So I asked her. I said, and she was very nice throughout the whole thing. I said, well, listen, I've got, and we talked about the church. I told her as a pastor. I said, and I work, we was talking about, because she's talking about the young people and where they meet and different things like that. And she had five children, and she has two nieces that she, we were talking to her at the beginning and told her where we're from. She said, well, I was just down in Farmville. She said, two of my nieces just moved in Farmville. She said, they actually have started a colony there. And basically, I guess is what it's called, whatever it's called, a group there of Amish. I said, well, that's not far from where we are at all. So we were talking. But I said, let me ask you this. I said, I've got a theological question for you. I said, what do y'all believe about eternity? And you could, my wife and I were talking about this, and she's very nice throughout the whole thing. You could sort of see the wall go up just a little bit, you know, just still pleasant. She said, and as I told her, so I'm a Baptist pastor. She said, I think it's pretty much like what y'all believe. We believe in heaven and hell and God. And that's about as far as it went, you know. And we got to talking later, and I was asking her, well, there's other groups of Amish in other parts of the country. I said, now how do y'all, what's y'all's relation with them? And she was talking about that and the different, the ministers they have, and then sort of the bishops, the overseers, whatever. And she said, those that are in charge of those groups, basically, they're in certain districts they're in charge of. They'll all get together about once a year, I think she's saying, and they'll go over what the rules and regulations are and then give those to us. And we were talking about the church service. She said, yeah, and the church service said, we don't bring our Bibles to church. She said, they'll read out of their German Bible, and they'll pass that around, but they don't actually bring their Bible to church. And she's talking about the rules and regulations that those in charge give to them to do. You know what those are? Those are traditions. Those are man-made regulations. Now, I'm not against the Amish at all. And I very much appreciate in many ways their way of life. I asked her, I said, well, what about cell phones? And she said, there are some that have businesses that will have a cell phone, but as far as we don't do cell phones, you know, because there's not electricity involved there necessarily. I said, well, you're not missing out on anything without having a cell phone. And so there's a lot of good things, but I tell you this. Much of what they do is based upon traditions that have been passed down to them and not based upon God's Word. I'm talking about theology. I'm not talking about even the way they live and the way they dress and the way they, not using electricity. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about what they believe when it comes to the Bible and to the Word of God. Let me tell you something this morning. Just because a father did it, and I'm telling you, she was somebody that had grown up in that. That's all she knew. And good luck trying to talk her out of it. I gave her a track and I gave her a tip when we got done, did both. We don't want to give one without the other, all right? But I gave both those and did everything could to try to be a witness to her. But let me tell you something this morning. If you're trusting in the traditions of your fathers to get you to heaven, that's not going to work. Hey, the important thing here was not just, are you going to do what your fathers did? No, well, look what it says there in verse number 22. Whether they will keep what? The way of the Lord. This morning, what's important is this. It's not what I say. What's important is what this book says. That's what's important. Hey, what I say is not going to last for a long time, and I hope my children learn from me and I try to teach them some certain things. But more important than that is, are my children going to follow God's Word? Are they going to get saved according to what God's Word says? Not according to tradition, not because they've done a lot of good works. Hey, there's no way I could compete with that lady with Elizabeth and all the good things I'm sure that she's done. But I know this, Jesus Christ died to pay for my sins as well as her sins, and the only way either one of us would get to heaven is through Jesus Christ and what He did for us. So this morning, don't trust in the traditions of your fathers and the traditions of those that have gone on before you. We won't go there for time's sake. Matthew 15, Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and He says, here's your problem. You're teaching for the commandments of men as if they were Bible, as if they were the Word of God. He says, you can't teach that as doctrine. Doctrine is not what man says. And those Amish are following what they're following because man has told them to do it. What's important for us is to keep the way of the Lord to walk therein. Let me ask you this morning, have you been saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Hey, those of you that you're trying to live for the Lord, are you reading your... Let me ask you this morning. Hey, young people, are you reading your Bible as much as your parents do? Hey, are you in the Word of God as much as mom and dad are? Hey, are you on your face before God as much as mom and dad are? Hey, are you living for the Lord? I'm not talking about, boy, do you look good on the outside. That's fine. I'm glad if you do. I'm talking about what's your relationship with Jesus Christ like. Hey, and those things that their fathers were doing and walking with God and serving God and living for God, that next generation, God says, I want to prove Israel to see if you're going to continue to walk
with God as your fathers did. Hey, young people, hey, next generation, do you have the character of your parents?
Hey, does your word mean something? Hey, is there a work ethic there like dad has and like mom has? Hey, are those things that you've seen others do before you, have you continued those things that are biblical,
that come from God's word? Will you live in the way of the Lord as your fathers did? Then secondly, look at chapter number 3, verse 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. Even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. God says, I want to prove you to see if you're going to live in the way of the Lord as your fathers did. And then here at the beginning of chapter 3, he says, I want to prove you, verse 1, to prove Israel, that had not known all the wars of Canaan, what, to teach them war.
Let me ask you this morning. For the next generation, will you live in the way of those that have gone before you, the way of the Lord? Then secondly, will you learn to fight for what you believe?
I think one of the things that's missing in the next generation is fighting for what they believe. I mean, really, really taking on as a battle. I'm going to stand my ground on what I believe according to the Word of God, and nothing's going to change that. In fact, what I see a lot is I see a lot of young people, and I see a lot of young adults, and I see a lot of couples, and I see a lot of people and families that grow up, and they want to get away from what mom and dad believe. Well, let me tell you something, as we just talked about, it's not important as much what mom and dad believe, but when mom and dad line up with the Word of God and what they believe is what the Word of God says, why in the world would you not want to follow the same thing in your life? And why would you not say, I'm going to fight for those things
that have gone on before me? The Bible says, isn't that great? Isn't that interesting? At the end of verse 1, they had not known all the wars of Canaan. You know, this was a group,
they didn't see the walls of Jericho fall down. They didn't. And they had never experienced that. They weren't there marching around the city and seeing, hey, God got to those walls and brought them down. They'd seen that victory. They hadn't seen that. They hadn't known those wars. They hadn't known the ambush of Ai. And as Joshua led that group and they brought those people out, and then they were able to come in behind and see the defeat of Ai. And they weren't involved in that at all. They hadn't seen that. Hey, they weren't there when Joshua stood and said, hey, sun stand still, moon stand still, and saw God wrought a victory for Israel. They hadn't seen that. They hadn't had to go to battle. No, they were sort of given everything. And by the way, parents, be careful. Grandparents, be careful of giving everything to your children, to your grandchildren. Hey, they need to stand up and fight for some things themselves. They need to learn that themselves. They need to learn to take a stand for what's right and learn how to work. And these were people, they didn't know those, they hadn't seen those battles. They hadn't been a part of those. And by the way, before we bear too hard on the next generation, what does it say in verse 2? Only the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. We say, hey, part of the problem is the next generation needs to be taught how to fight by the generation that comes before. Say, how do we do that? We have a great example of that. In fact, go back just a little bit. Let's go to chapter, I think it's chapter 1. Let me make sure. Chapter 1. Go to chapter 1 and let's look. Let me see if I get the right verse here. So chapter 1 and let's go to verse. Let's start. Yeah, let's go to verse number 11. Go to verse 11. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir. He's talking about the tribe of Judah, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sepher. Look at verse 12. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa my daughter to wife. You know, Caleb here challenged the next generation. He said, hey, here's my daughter, she'll make a great wife, but if you want that, then I want you to go fight for it. He said, I want you to go to conquer. Here's some lands that haven't been conquered yet. I want you to go conquer this land. He didn't say, hey, here, take it. No, he says, if you're going to do this, learn to fight. for what you believe. And Caleb set a great example in challenging the next generation. You know what? For us, as the generation, we need to challenge the next generation to take a stand for God. Challenge them. And don't just let them slide and say, well, we want to make it easier. No, challenge them. Let me tell you this. I think if we'll do that, there's going to be some that are up to the challenge. And not everybody took him up on that, but somebody did. The Bible says Othniel stood up. And Othniel took that challenge on. And Othniel fought and conquered. And when he did, Caleb didn't just challenge him. He also congratulated him. He also rewarded him for what he did and gave him his daughter. But man, Caleb challenged that next generation. Man, I think next generation, I pulled up here, last Saturday. I don't know what time it was. I got here, 11:30, something like that on Saturday. It's 12 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock, sometime in there. And I see these cars parked there, and I see three of our young men pulling back in after spending hours visiting the bus route. Hey, that's encouraging to me. Hey, I think if we'll challenge those in the next generation, sometimes it's because we don't challenge them. Oh, no, we'll just make it easy for you. No. They need to be challenged to stand for what they believe, to fight for what they believe, be willing to do something for God. In fact, isn't this interesting? And by the way, it's good for young people. Look at verse number 13. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Achsah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass when she came to him that she moved him to ask of her father a field. She lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said to her, "What wilt thou?" She said unto him, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water." And Caleb gave it to her. She says, "You know what? I want more. Hey, not just what you said I could have. I want to go get more." And she did. And she went, and she and her husband there went and accomplished more. And listen, don't sit back and say, "Boy, this next generation, boy, they're just a little bit lazy." Yeah, okay. Hey, every generation looks to the next one and thinks, man, they're not what we were. How about challenging the next generation? And by the way, let me tell you something else is important here. Caleb was still fighting. I'll tell you that. Hey, people my age, Caleb was still conquering, right? We talked about it several weeks ago. He was still conquering lands for the Lord. He was still doing something for God. Don't sit back doing nothing for God and hold back the ones behind you that want to do something for him. Hey, you be doing something. And you still set the example. And you still get out there and serve God and let them see what you're doing. Caleb wasn't sitting back doing nothing. No, Caleb's still serving God even as an old man. And he challenges the next generation to take a stand and to fight for the Lord. Hey, fight for what you believe. Take a stand, a strong stand on the Word of God. By the way, you think this is an accident? Go to chapter 3. Go back to Judges chapter 3. And I don't want to get too far into this, but if you know the story of the book of Judges, what happens? Because of their sin, God sends chastisement. And when that chastisement comes, God looks for somebody to deliver them from that chastisement, and God would raise up these judges, right? And these judges would come in, and they would deliver the people of Israel, and God would give them victory. And so while that judge was alive, they'd stay following God. That judge would die, and what would the people do? They'd go right back into sin. That cycle, they'd go back into sin, and then that sin would bring judgment from God, and then the people would cry out to God again. God sent another deliverer, and that's throughout the book of Judges. That's what happened. So here in the first part, we have the very first judgment of God, verse number 8, the anger of God's hot against Israel, and he sold them into slavery, basically into bondage, and they cry unto the Lord. And the Bible says, verse 10, the Spirit of the Lord came upon this man. He judged Israel, went out to war, and the Lord delivered them. And you know who that man was, that first judge of Israel?
The one who learned to fight when he was younger. Hey, because he learned to fight when he was younger, Othniel, the same one that Caleb challenged and he did something for God, was there ready to be a judge. So when God needed somebody with the Spirit of God upon him, there's somebody who already knew how to fight. There's somebody who already learned how to fight because the generation before had taught them, had challenged them
how to fight. God says, I'm going to leave those people around you. I'm going to leave those nations around you. I'm going to prove where you are spiritually. Hey, if you're going to live in the way of the Lord as your fathers did, hey, if you're going to learn to fight for what you believe,
And then finally, look at chapter 3 and verse 4. Well, look back at verse 3. Namely, five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Bel Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath, and they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by hand of Moses. God says, I'm going to leave those people there to prove you. I'm going to see if you're going to still live in the way of the Lord as your fathers did. I'm going to see if you're still going to learn to fight for what you believe. And then thirdly, here lastly, here says, I'm going to leave them there to prove you, to see if you will listen to the word of God. He says, will you listen? Will you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord? You know, the enemy's come to prove us. Hey, what did Delilah tell Samson? The Philistines be upon you. Hey, the enemies came to prove Samson what he was going to do. Hey, you know what happened to the nation of Israel? Goliath, the enemy, showed up. You know what? To prove. We said, to prove who? Well, to prove David, yes, but also to prove Saul. And also to prove David's brothers, and also to prove others that were there. And God said, I want to see if you're willing to listen to the word of God and follow God's word. Those enemies are going to come. God will send enemies into your life. God will send things into your life to see if you're going to really listen to his word, or you're going to do what you want. Hey, Saul could come with all kinds of excuses of why he wouldn't do it. David said, hey, listen, I'm not going to let somebody challenge God and let that stand. I'm going to do something. There's a cause here. There's a cause here. And it proved David. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar proved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Hey, he said, listen, you're going to bow down. And it proved who was really going to take a stand for the Lord. And you had three young men said, hey, listen, we're not bowing down. Hey, the enemy came. And they said, the word of God tells us not to do that. We will listen to God's word. Hey, maybe money or things or the pleasure of sin or lack of faithfulness or something like it. Something will come after you and will, if you're not careful, will defeat you. Let me tell you this morning, you better learn to listen to God's word. You're going to need it when the enemy comes. Two scriptures and we're done. Go to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. How do we know how strong you are this morning? How do we know if you're going to contend? How can we prove who's going to do something for God and who's not? Proverbs 24 and verse number 10. Let's read the last part of the verse first. The Bible says, thy strength is small. Hey, there's some people whose strength is small. They're not strong for God. Say, how do we know? What's the first part of the verse say? That first word says, if. If you faint, when? In the day of adversity. So here's the thing for these young people. How do we know if their strength is small? I don't know until the day of adversity comes. You know that? Hey, for you this morning, you say, boy, am I going to take a stand for God? Am I going to listen to God's word? Am I going to follow what my fathers have done, what my parents have done, what those before me have done according to God? Am I going to fight for what I believe? To be honest with you, I don't know until adversity comes. I don't know. You can look good on the outside and pretend like you're doing, but tell you what, when adversity comes, that's when we see your strength. So we see your strength. God says, I'm going to leave them there to prove them, to see if they're going to really listen to God's word. Just make sure this morning you're, in fact, one last passage, go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. This is so indicative of us. By the way, let me just throw this in there. I'm so excited when old people and young people alike listen to God. And when I talk to them and they're trying to hear what God has for them, they're listening to what God says. Look at Matthew chapter 17.
Peter, James, and John are there on the Mount Transfiguration. Jesus, verse 2, is transfigured before them. His face shines as a sun. Moses and Elijah are there in verse 3. Look at verse 4. Then answered Peter, saying to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Peter's got this great idea, and he's there, and he's excited, and that's wonderful. Man, so much. But I tell you what, there wasn't anything bad Peter was doing, but look what God says, verse 5, while he yet spake. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I have well pleased. What does the last part say? Hear ye him. You know, we're so wrapped up in what we're doing. Peter was so wrapped up in his idea. Boy, this is great. And experiencing it, that's great. There's nothing wrong with what he made. He got to be there on Mount Transfiguration. But God said, here's what you need to do. You listen to Jesus. Hey, hear what he has to say. Hey, this morning, I know you've got your plans. I know you've got what you want to do. But are you listening to what God says? I don't know what he says. I don't know what he wants me to do.
I do. He's got it right here. And God says, I'm going to leave those nations there to prove you, to see if you're really going to listen to my word.
This morning, God is going to prove us.
He's going to put some things there, not to get us to sin, no, but to see what we're going to do. Hey, are you going to continue
in those things you've been taught according to God's word? Are you going to stand for what you believe in and fight for that? Or are you going to listen to God's word? Hey, God's proving us. How are we going to do? How are we going to do when God proves you? Father, help us this morning.
As those times come, Lord, and I don't know, we can't predict, we don't know. We do know this. As we walk with you, as we try to live for you, there are going to be times when testing comes. We don't always know what the form is going to be and what it's going to be like. We know those testing times come. And Lord, I pray we'd be prepared. And Lord, as you did with this group, with this nation of Israel, you said, I'm going to leave some things there to prove them. Lord, I pray there be a group this morning. Lord, we look at the next generation, but even of each generation, a group of each generation that says, Hey, I'm gonna follow the word of God. I'm going to follow the truths I've been taught, as my parents said, as my grandparents said, as those that come before me have done. I'm not just going to throw away all that I've been taught and everything that I've learned. No, I'm going to follow that. But we'd have some people this morning say, I'm going to learn to fight. Well, I wasn't there when those great battles were going on, and I didn't get to see those victories that others got to see, but I'm going to learn to fight for what's right. I'm going to learn to listen to the Word of God. As God speaks, I'm going to have an open heart and keep my ear ready so that I can follow what He says. Lord, I pray there's someone here who's not saved. Help them trust You this morning. Pray for all of us, Lord, as those proving times come, as something comes into our life. Lord, our strength wouldn't be small. No, we wouldn't faint. Lord, You said the just man falleth. It's going to happen, but he riseth up again. Help us to continue on for You in Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning. If you're here this morning, you say this. You say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. As we talked about in the service, not because my father, my grandfather, the traditions, not because I live a certain way or act a certain way or try not to do too many things wrong. No, the only way I'm going to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He paid for my sins. If you can say that this morning and you say, I know, without it, not a guess, not a maybe. Oh, no. I know, as we sung today, when we all get it, I know I'll be in heaven one day through Jesus Christ. If you can say that this morning, you just slip your hand up and say, I know I'm saved this morning. Put your hand right back down. Thank you. If you're here this morning, you say this, you say, I'm not sure about my salvation. I don't know if I was to die today. Oh, I was thinking this week and been praying for Mr. Spurlock, and some of you have been here a long, long time. Man, there was a service when Mr. Jack Spurlock walked the aisle and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I was thinking about a service when Mrs. Tony Hahn walked the aisle and trusted Jesus. Listen, and some of you saw those things. We saw God doing something. And let me tell you this morning, there's never come a time you don't have to walk an aisle and do that. Many others got saved in their home or whatever. But
If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And as I talked to that Amish lady this week, yes, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And those without Christ, the Bible says, will spend eternity in hell. If you're here this morning, say this, say, I'm not sure about my salvation. Just pray for me. I won't embarrass you. I promise you that this morning. Say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. You can just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I'm just not sure. Pray for me this morning. I need prayer. Not sure about my salvation. Hey, if you don't know for sure, you come forward this morning. Make that, get that taken care of. And then listen, God's going to prove us. Are we ready for it? I don't know if I'm ready for it, to be honest with you, but I know this. I got to be ready to fight. I got to be ready to follow what I've heard before. I've got to listen to what God has to say. As the music plays this morning, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock for the service. We've got choir practice. Do we have junior choirs? Anybody know or not? Not sure. All right. I know the nights are gone. Not sure if we'll be back. But anyway, I know this. We do have service at 6 o'clock. All right. So be here for that. And great to see people in. I missed, I think I saw Miss Jenny head out, Brother Mike. But, man, great to see Mrs. Jenny and that new baby in here today. So, man, glad that God brought them in. And I see Mrs. Munger, we're known by our children, all right? So Reagan and McKinley's mother and grandmother. Good to have y'all in here this morning, others as well. But great to see y'all here today. And I saw Chris and Caitlin earlier. Good to see them visiting in. Have a great week this week. Be back tonight if you can, 6 o'clock. Father, I pray that you bless us. Thank you so much for what you do for us. Just give us a great week this week. Looking forward to what you have for us. And Lord, we know this. There's going to be times. There are wonderful times. Mountaintop experiences, exciting times. There's also going to be times of testing. Help us be ready for both. And Lord, just again, bless us, Lord, as we go out this week. In Jesus' name, amen.